kaparis is a kisui, a covering, ala orojel pasuach milamalu manichoy olav kimindaf. The kaparis was exposed. It was opened on the top. And you need to put a daf, a board. A board was meant to cover the top of the ark. I'm assigning the chetzi arka. Ki arka shel aron, it was exactly the same dimensions as the aron. The dachban, the width was kirech shel aron. Umunachas al oyde hakasalim arba atam. And it was supported by the walls. So in other words, that's also, it is interesting, it's telling us, by the way, that when we say the aron was 2.5 long, 1.5 wide, that is from the outside. Rashi tells us before by the aron that there were really three aronis. There was the wood, the center was atzei shittim. In the wood they put a gold aron. And on the outside they put another gold aron. So the total of 3. They will put one within the other. In the center was wood, and the inside was gold, and on the outside was gold. And they fit inside one within the other. So the question then is, when it says in the Torah you should make an aron that's exactly 2.5, is that referring to the dimensions on the inside? Is that referring to the dimensions of the wood on the outside of the wood? Or is it referring to the thickness, the outer? Because there are 3 different aronis that fit one within the other. So when it says it was 2.5 by 1.5, where exactly those measurements being taken? On the inside of the innermost aron? Or on the outside of the outermost aron? And if it refers to the outermost of the outer aron, that automatically means that the 2 other aronites, the one, the wood that's on the inside, and the gold that's within the wood, they obviously had to be smaller than 2.5 in order that they should neatly, smugly fit one with another. Notice like these children toys, everything has to fit in the right place to give these kids to test their skills to see if they can understand how everything has to fit just perfectly. So here is the answer to the mystery. The fact that the kaparis goes on top, and the kaparis is a slab of gold that's exactly 2.5 by 1.5, and it fits neatly on top of the aron, which assumes it fits neatly up to the very, very edge. But that obviously teaches us that when it comes to the aron, the dimensions of 2.5 by 1.5 are measured from the outside of the outermost box of gold. Okay, so Arka Kirkush Aron, Vrecha Kirkush Aron, Munachas Al Oive, and the thickness, it was supported by the thickness of the 4 walls, Hakaslam Arba Tom, Viachapi Shalonasan Shil Levoiv, even though now here's something, it doesn't, now what about the height? What was the height of the Kaparis? Doesn't say. So Perisher Abbasayr Shachoya Ovia Tefach, it was exactly one Tefach thick. So we know now that the total height, and this is a very popular number, the total height of the aron was exactly 10 tefachim. From the ground to the, because again, the aron sat on the ground. And the height is 1.5 amos. An amo is, we're assuming it's 6 tefachim. So a half an amo is 3 tefachim. So 6 plus 3 is 9. So the aron itself was 9 tefachim from the ground up. And then on top was the kaparis, and the covering itself, the slab of gold that was the cover, was 1 tefach, for a grand total of 10. So from the ground until the top of the kaparis, exactly 10. And from that top of the 10, it came out, the kiruvim. It doesn't say anywhere how tall the kiruvim were. It doesn't say anywhere. All we know is the main part of the earth from the ground all the way until the top of the kaparis, exactly 10 tefachim. And from here we learn that the Shekhinah came down to rest on the Aron. The Shekhinah did not come down to this world less than 10 tefachim. When it says that the Shekhinah came down to this world, it never actually touched the earth. We know that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu between the Kruvim, and the Kruvim were coming forth from the base of the Kaparis, and the bottom of the Kaparis was exactly 10 tefachim off the ground. So that means that the Shekhinah never went below in this world less than 10 tefachim. We derive it from the Aron, because Hashem spoke to Moshe between the Kruvim. The Kol Hashem, the Shekhinah, was between the Kruvim. The Kruvim began to come forth on the very base of the top of the Kaparis. And now that we know the secrets, Rashi over here says, the thickness of the Kaparis was 1 tefach,
And when we add that to the 9 tefachim of the height of the Aron, it's a grand total of 10. So therefore the Shekhinah was resting exactly 10 tefachim above the ground. Alright, so this is Rashi. Now again, we now go back to the Targum, and we see over here, didn't see over here anything. So now we have to wonder, since we're looking over here, then Rash Unkelis, and we're trying very desperately to show that this a machlokes Rash Unkelis whenever we can. And Rashi goes out of his way to say that the Kaparis was a kisi al aron shay pesuch malamala umanichay lov kamin daf. When the Targum says you shall make a kapurta, does that word have any special meaning? Does that word is just a kaparis? Does that word indicate that it's not like a board? Maybe talk about some other idea. So let's see over here in the Ma'atzari, in my favorite commentary on the Targum. Let's see if he says anything that is of interest over here. He actually completely skips the pasuk. Would you believe it? I'm not done yet. I have now another sefer over here, which I always had. I'm just too lazy to use it. Let's see very quickly what he says, because I have a feeling over here there's something here very deep going on over between Rashi and Unkelis as to exactly what we mean over here. What is the purpose of this kaparis? Rashi says the purpose is to cover it. It was open. B'shalach Yisro Mishpatim. Here we go to Mishpatim, to Parashas Truma. Here we go. Parashas Truma. We're going to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Yitches. Pasuk Zayin. Look at that. No one wants to comment on this. Strike two. Both of my scorn have absolutely no commentary on this pasuk. All right, we're not done yet. Let's see. Now we go to the next pasuk Yitches. V'yosisa shnayim kruvim gezohav nikshu. Now you shall make two kruvim. What are kruvim? So Rashi tells us what exactly the kruvim are. We have to really analyze what these words are. You shall make two kruvim. Kruv, where else do we have kruvim? Kruvim appeared in the beginning of Ma'aseh Bereishis. When Hashem expelled Adam and Chava from Gan Eden, Hashem put at the opening of Gan Eden, Kruvim were stationed there with a cherev hamisapeches, with a sword. So they were Kruvim. What were the Kruvim there? Okay, what were the Kruvim? I have to go look up the Kruvim. I think they were angels. Over here they are Kruvim, again Kruvim. Zohar, they're made from gold. Now notice over here, it does not say Zohar Tahar. This is very interesting over here. It does not say Zohar Tahar. When it comes to the kapare, v'yosisa kapare zohav tohar. When it comes to the kruvim, it says v'yosisa shnayim kruvim zohav. What happened to our tohar? Okay, like we mentioned before, there were 7 types of gold, and every part of the Mishkan had a different type of gold. The tabois, the rings that we used, that were made from gold, they had to be from a very strong gold that would not, like the gold that we know of today, is pliable. It's soft. It's not something which can support the weight of something. So, and then they had special gold. They would make plates to cover different. Let's say the krushim, and there was gold that was made into threads that were woven into the garments. There were all different types of gold. Seven types of gold, and every portion of the Mishkan used a different type of gold. So it's right away a red alarm that over here we have this kaparis, and the assumption is that the kruvim, I always saw the kruvim was one piece of gold together with the kaparis. I was always under the assumption that you took one massive, massive chunk of gold and they carved out the kruvim. And including in carving the kruvim, they also carved out the base. So when you start off with a massive chunk of gold, and when you're finished, you have a base, a slab, and protruding from the slab are these two angels that look like children, with wings, spreading their wings up high. So I'm not so sure that is correct. It could very well be is that the kruvim were made separately. We have to really be very careful and see how this was done. It could be that I was mistaken. The kruvim were made completely separate. The kruvim have to be made from one piece of gold, but they were later attached to the slab. Why do I want to say that? Because it uses two different types of gold. When it comes to the kaparis, the slab that covers the aron, all it says is you shall make it kaparis zahav tahor. That's a certain type of metal. When it comes to the kruvim themselves, it says you shall make kruvim zahav, and it says the two kruvim shall be made from mixture, one piece of metal ta'asa oisam mishnei, and they shall come forth mishnei kitzoy sakaparis. So I don't know what to say. Does that mean it sounds like they're coming forth from the same slab of gold that was the cover? But on the other hand,
that's what my translation in the art scroll of the Sinyan says exactly that. There's one mass of gold, and you on the lid. He said, "Not you don't solder it together. You didn't solder
the kruvim to the piece of gold."
Right. He says you didn't. Slab. That's how he's translating Rashi.
Right. So okay, you have to see Rashi. But what is curious about this is, there's no question that it says miksha. There's no question about that. Miksha, the kruvim were made from one piece of gold. But and it says they shall tase oisam, you shall make them mishneik kitsoy sakapares. Does that mean that the kapares itself was part of the one slab of gold? Or maybe it was soldered. Why would I want to suggest that it was soldered? Because it describes two different types of gold. When it comes to the kaparis, it says zohov tahor. And when it comes to the kruvim, it just says zohov. And Chazal pick up on this. And they say there were seven types of gold. And you have to study each particular reference of gold and understand what type of gold was used. There were soft golds, and there were hard golds. There were golds that had a beautiful glow to it. Like the zer, the crown. The crowns were made from gold. The crowns were made from a different type of gold which illuminated, which had a certain shine like a crown. Although the shulchan was plated with gold, but the crown was made from a different type of gold so it should stand out. So over here, the fact that we're using two different terms of gold is curious. I know, Mr. Rapport, I agree with you. The way I've always understood this, the way we've always learned this in yeshiva, is that it's one massive slab of gold. And the final product was, there was a base that was one tefach thick, and from that base protruded two creatures, what we call kruvim, that mitzadech look like angels, mitzad sheni, they had the ponim of children. But is that really correct?
How else do you read the Rashi?
Let's see the Rashi. Nigid, now nigid is a very interesting word. Nigid means miksha. Right, that's what we translate. Miksha means hammered. In English, on the screen it says make them of hammered work. Okay, where did they get that translation? I have no idea. Miksha, we'll see how Rashi translates with miksha in a few moments. Miksha means to bang. Miksha means, we have to see what the word means. It's not an easy word to translate. He says the word nigid, which I don't know what it means. From the context, it means chiseled, right? Hammered. Ta'abed yosain mitrein sitre. Okay, the sitre means the sitra achra. Okay, the satan. It's called the other side. Okay, mitrein sitre from the two sides. Chapurta of the kapiris. Let's see Rashi. Rashi over here says, kruvim demus parts of tinek lohem. So Rashi says, these kruvim, they have the demus, the image of the ponim, the parts of, only the face. The body looks like an angel. I think Rashi says, malachi chavola. Rashi, I think in Chumash, when it talks about, when Hashem drew, vayigoresh es ha'odam, migan Eden, if I'm not mistaken, Hashem there, and Hashem put kiruvim, holding in their hands the chelef of esapeches. I think it says it in the word malachi chavala, destructive angels. Don't you come near this location. You don't deserve to be here. So these creatures, if you want to combine, if you wish to combine these two Rashis together, it almost sounds like that these creatures were destructive. The only difference is the parts of aponim is of a child, which is, I mean, a little strange. I mean, you would not expect there to be anything destructive in the Beis HaMikdash. And a child, Now you want to say that the tzuras ha'panim was of a child, so the child does not, the panim is not destructive. It's like a combination of opposites. Children are pure, shleitamu tamchet, yet their bodies are kuvim. And if you want to go say they should make the image of a malachi hasharis, do we know what malachi hasharis look like? Well, we don't know what kuvim look like either. So for us, it doesn't make a difference. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say that you shall put upon the aron kuvim, obviously, whoever made this knew what they were making. And if Rashi and Chumash says that Hashem put by the Pesach of Gan Eden kiruvim, which means malachi chavala, a kuv is a certain type of angel. When we daven,
here it's only the face of the child. The
no, kuvim. So the most, no, that's not what Rashi was saying. Rashi was saying it's kiruvim.
How about the kuvim that were in Gan Eden?
So let's go look it up. Let me go look at Rashi. Okay. Let me go to Rashi Bereishis. So that's what I'm saying, that these Kuruvim, Rashi is coming to add that although these are Kuruvim, when we daven, we talk about the Ho'ifanim. That's one type of Malach. Then there's the Chayos HaKodesh. And then when we learn Yecheskel, we discover there are other types of Malachim. There are many different types of Malachim, all different types. Remember we had a whole discussion about Yaakov Inde's the Sulam. When Yaakov came, left Eretz Yisrael, he had a dream of a sulam. What did he see in the sulam? He saw the Malachi Elohim, Oilim V'yardim Bo. So in the first, the Sefer called the Sefer, I think it's called the Sefer HaKone, one of the earliest printed Svarim ever existed, written Svarim. Who wrote the Sefer? Rabbi Nechunya ben HaKone. Rabbi Nechunya ben HaKone. He was even before the Tanoim. He wrote a Sefer called the Sefer HaKone. And in that Sefer, he asked the question, why did the Malachim that escorted Yaakov, why did they need a ladder to ascend heaven? Malachim, we have a Mesorah, that Malachi Hasharis have wings. So when the Malachim departed, when Yaakov Avinu, he left Eretz Yisrael and he got a new set of angels, so it should say that a new set flew down to greet him, and the old set flew. Like you go to Florida, you fly JetBlue, right? You don't have a ladder. So you know what it says there in Chumash HaKohanim? He says there were baby angels. Baby angels that their wings did not yet grow in. Therefore, they needed a ladder to climb up and down. You believe such a thing? This is what it says in the Sefer HaKohanim from Chumash ben HaKohanim. Sefer, Rabbi Nechunya ben HaKohanim, the one who wrote Ona B'Koyach, Gedulas Hashem, the author of the tefillah that we say very often, Ona B'Koyach, Gedulas Hashem, Friday night, the one who wrote that Nusach wrote a Sefer, and that Sefer he asked the question, why did the angels need a Malach? And the answer is because they were baby angels. So if that's the case, if these angels over here in the Kodesh HaKodashim were baby angels, then there are no wings. And yet it says, in the very next pasuk, is that their wings, v'hayu'akim parsei chinafayim lemala. They had wings, and their wings were extended all the way up. So obviously these kiruvim are not baby. These kiruvim are adults. If they're adults, why then is the parzuf of their ponim a child, a tinoik? So Rashi is exactly coming to say, even though a kruv, by definition, is an adult malach, which has wings and can fly, and you would expect that the tzur saponim should be that of an adult, we have a chiddush, that the tzur saponim of the kruvim were children, babies, children. Rashi, let me just go to the Rashi. Rashi, in the beginning of Bereishis, when Hashem drove out Adam, Hashem drove him out. Vayigoresh es Adam, vayashkein mikedem ligan Eden es hakeruvim. V'yes lahat ha'acheret v'sapeches l'shmer es derech etz ha'chayim. Rashi, Pasuk of Dal in Bereishis, it says, Malachei chavolo. What does Uncle say over here? Pasuk of Dalit, he says, v'sarech de'edin yos kiruvayo. He doesn't say anything. He just says the kiruvaya. So, a kruv, as far as we know, is a malach shel chavala. We don't talk about them in Midavin Shachas. We talk about the Oifanim and the Chayas HaKodesh. We don't mention the Kruvim. Yet these Kruvim, they had ponim that look like children. That's really a contradiction. Because if the body is the body of the Malachi Chavala, you would not expect the innocence and the purity of a child. So how do you understand this? I don't know. Rashi over here is very clear. Pasuk Yutes. V'asei kruv, v'asisa shnayim kruvim, demus partsuf tinoik lohem. Their bodies were bodies of adults, adult angels, which we have the right to assume were the bodies of Malachi Chavola, but the demus partsuf of their ponim was a child, the purity of a child. Okay, miksha ta'aseh. What does it mean, miksha? So Rashi says, shaloi ta'aseh b'fnei atzma u'sechabrim b'roshei ha'kaparis. So Mr. Rappaport, yeah, you're right. There's no way to avoid Rashi. Rashi says that you don't sadr the kruvim later on. The kruvim is part miksha. So here's very important. Miksha over here means it's part of the base. The primary goal of you is the base. Shloim taasim b'fnei atzam v'sachabim b'roshah kaparus la'achar asiyosam. Kimasi tsarfim shekorim, like tsarfim means smelters. People who work with metal, they solder. Shekorim, whatever that word is. Ela hatel sof harbe b'tchilas asiyos hakaparus v'hake b'patish u'v'kurnos bo'emtza, in the center. V'roshin boltim l'malo, their wings, their heads, will protrude upwards with Sayer HaKruvim Biblitas Kitzaysov and form the Kruvim with the extension of their ends. Okay, and then he goes on to say Niksha. Niksha is whatever this word is, Belaskimo, Do Lido Nokshon means to beat. It means to hit. Okay, it means to hit. It means to bang, like the door bangs one on the other. So you take a hammer and you bang, and you make a cavity on the inside. Okay, kitzois ha-kapares. What does it mean over here? The kitzois, the edge of the kapares, the roshay, on the surface. Rashi here learns. See, this is very important. This word over here. Let's rather emphasize over here right now. A machloikis between Rashi and the Unkelis. Unkelis said, what does it mean, the ketzoi sakapares? It means the sides, the sitre, the edges, the side. Rashi, that's the sitra achra, the other side. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says the place from where they protrude is from the top of the kapares. So when you go look at a picture, and you go look, they have all these beautiful images all over the place of what the aron looks like, and they show you an image. This is something that really no one knows. I always find this to be very, very bizarre. When you look at a model of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, look in the art school, look in this book, look in that book, and they make the Kruvim. How in the world do you know what the Kruvim look like? How in the world? Art school, I was actually very disappointed that the art school, that when they put out the Mishkan book is phenomenal. What they did in the Mishkan book is just off the charts. But I was very unimpressed, who am I to say this, with the Kruvim. I thought they would make much more elaborate Kruvim. I thought they would make, you know, the Kruvim, the art school, the artists they hire there at the top of the line. I'm assuming by design they deliberately, they made the Kruvim very, very plain because no one knows what they really look like. It's interesting. You go look at some of the other illustrations that you can find. They make them very elaborate. And the question is, how do you know? How does anyone know? No one knows what the Kruvim look like. No one. No one has any idea. So when you don't know, I'm almost certain this has to be the Pshat. I'm sure, I have no doubt that when the art school, they made the Kruvim, that was probably the hardest thing to do when they put out that magnificent illustration book. It's called the Mishkan. right? It was an incredible piece of work, the Mishkan, one of their best things that they did. And when they put out that Sefer, I'm willing to guess that the most difficult task they had was how to portray the Kruvim. Everything else is pretty straightforward. It's a matter of dimensions. Wood, gold, silver. Okay, the Kruvim, it's up to your imagination. And they actually presented a very bland version of the Kruvim. I'm assuming this because since you don't really know what it looked like, so don't be a smart aleck and try to go make-believe, make an elaborate illustration of what you don't even know what you're making an illustration of. But one thing is very interesting to take note of when you look at these illustrations, these pictures, these diagrams. Where are the legs of the Kruvim protruding from? Rashi says it's from the surface, the upper surface of the slab of gold. That was one tefachnik. Targum disagrees. The legs protruded from the sitra, from the side, which almost makes it sound like they came forth from the edge. The edge, it's one tefach thick, and from that very edge, from there, it began to protrude. It was up mamish against the edge. It wasn't pushed in from the middle of the slab or from closer. All right, now, let's go back over here to Unkelis. Unkelis says, V'sabe train kiruvim d'drava negid. So, he says, negid tabe yosoin, you shall make them negid, mitrain sidre kapurd. Now, the Targum doesn't elaborate. Well, the Targum doesn't elaborate, see Mr. Appaport, he doesn't say anything, which gives you almost a license. Maybe the Targum held. I'm saying, I could be saying now things that are totally false. But I have a question. Yes, I was learning, preparing a little bit, and I came across this fascinating. I think it's a Chassam Sofer. I don't remember who I saw it from. I have the Itzipolis, and he cites the famous Chazal that there are seven types of gold, and he goes on to identify exactly from all the different times it says the word gold in the Melechus HaMishkan, which type of gold was used for that particular avoida. This Zav, Shizure, Zav, I don't remember. Okay, there are many of the golds have a Shem Levoi. There's the Zav Tahar, and then there's the Zav Shizure. I don't remember. I have it over here in the other movie, but there are different types of gold. And that really struck me now. Over here, there are two different types of gold. There's something called Zav Tahar. It's one of the items in the list. And then there's just Stam Zav. And if he's saying that the Kruvim are going to be made from one big slab of gold, I mean, I assume when you make it from one big slab of gold, it's all the same gold. Well, they are so talented that when they go and they're going to make the gold, they're going to make a big chunk of gold and the bottom tefach is going to be Zav Tahar and the rest of the gold is going to be regular gold. You're able to do that? You're able actually to smelt it, to melt down the gold and to produce such a mixture where that's what's going to come out? It's like a piece of sponge cake. The bottom, one part is going to be chocolate, one part's going to be regular with not chocolate. You're able to do such a thing with gold? Maybe you can, according to Rashi. But according to Unglis, he doesn't say this. He says that the Kruvim, they come from the edges. Who says that means that they cannot be soldered from one onto the other? When you compare Rashi to Unkelis and you understand that Rashi is coming to comment, Rashi very often only comes to comment on things that bother him, that disturb him. He was certainly disturbed with the fact that it says the sitra, and that's why he changed it to ala kapiras, and that maybe triggered him to hold that when it says the word mikshur, the mikshur means that the kruvim themselves come out of the tefach, that's the slab, or maybe not. Okay, that's one big issue. Another issue over here is the word negid. What does it mean, negid? So we hear Rashi. Oh, I lost the place for the time. Turn over here to Parashas Truma. We have here the word negid. What is the word negid mean? Okay, we're making over here pas negid ches. And it says here, negid ay mashakosav lekamon pasuk lamed aleph. Okay, so then the ma'atzar he says, look ahead. So we're gonna go look ahead, and pasuk lamed aleph. Okay, let's quickly see. V'yasisa minayras zahavtar miksha. Okay, there's another thing that was done by miksha, the menorah. Pasuk lamed aleph, and in pasuk lamed aleph it says negid, and here there's a comment. Ois pasuk lamed aleph in the ma'atzari. Negid kavanasa l'shon hamshacha shemamshich es hoivarim min ha'eshes ve'akoshes akornas avlamal ben perush l'kavanas unak negid l'shon haka k'mo l'sh'amu ilmoli na'gduhu l'chananya mishol v'azariya. So what is he saying? He's saying over here that's not the most meaning of hamshacha shemamshich. Okay, so it seems over here that the word negid means not necessarily to bang. Negid means to pull. It would appear here that we have a fundamental machlokes in Rashi and Unkelus as to what it means. What does it mean? What does it mean, miksha? Rashi will brainwash, it means you take a hammer, take a chisel, and you bang, 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 until you carve away a cavity to make it look exactly the way you want. You go watch these stone sculptures, these artists who take stone and they chisel away. Look, Mount Rushmore. Okay, what more do you want? Mount Rushmore. How did they make Mount Rushmore? They took a hammer, they're very talented people, and they chiseled away and they made the image of these people, of these four presidents. Right? Many people want to put themselves there also. Miss Rappel, would you like to be part of Mount Rushmore? I'm sure we can fit you in there somewhere.
Why not?
We can fit people in there at Mount Rushmore. So you take a hammer and you chisel away. So ice people who sculpture ice, they go and they chisel away at the ice to make. It appears that the Targum, according to what the Ma'atzari says, disagrees, or at least it's a subject of interpretation. What is the meaning of negid in Aramaic? And in the Ma'atzari, he explains, it means to pull, hamshach. You don't chisel away. You pull. Sculpting gold is not the way you sculpt stone. I'm using the correct language. But the way you shape gold is not the way you shape stone. When you shape stone, you chisel. You know, it says by the Luchos, Pisol Lecha. Hashem said to Moshe, Pisol Lecha Shnei Luchos Avonim. Doesn't say make the Luchos Miksha. Pisol Quarry. Quarry out of the mountain. And when Moshe quarried, there was psoilas, there were some chips. And Moshe, Pisol Lecha, Hashem says, the chips that come when you chisel out the sapphire, they're yours. The psoilas is yours. You could keep it. And Moshe was able to make a parnasa from that. He had that he sold, the sapphire. When you do negid, there is no waste. There's no waste. When you start off with a chunk of gold, the way you would shape the gold into producing the kruvim, where their wings would extend outwards, was by just realigning the gold. Gold is soft. It's very soft. You don't take anything away. You don't take from this chunk of gold a chunk and pull it out and throw it in the garbage or put it away somewhere. You just somehow maneuver this massive block of gold into a shape which presents two kruvim, extending their wings upwards. But there is no waste. Nothing is going to be removed. It's just going to be pulled in a unique way to produce the desired image that you wish. Rashi clearly disagrees. Rashi says the miksha means you take a hammer and you take a chisel and you start zetzing and zetzing and zetzing, and they're going to be scrap pieces of gold, which, who got them? Did you ever wonder? When it came to the luchos, it says in the pasuk, psalacha. Who got the little chips of the gold? What did they do with it? They used it for other kelim of the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe. Did they give it back to the person who donated the gold? Doesn't say what happened. So we're trying over here, very desperate, Mashiach.
In manufacturing gold, when they chip, make it into an image, they take the waste and collect it.
And they use it for something else.
Or they sell it.
Right.
They make it into a ball and they sell it.
Correct. So our goal here is, we always say, is to show Rashi wrote a commentary on a commentary. Rashi is a super commentary. He wrote a Perush on Unkelus. Rashi, every word of Rashi is directed right at Unkelus. Rashi read Unkelus, and he says over here, you shall make Kruvim. What are Kruvim? Unkelus doesn't say anything. All he says is, what does Unkelus say? Nothing. He just says, Kiruvim. Nothing. What are Kruvim? We don't really know what they are. All Rashi comes only clarifies that the Kruvim, Demus Partsuf Tinek Lohem. All he says, the ponim is of a child. The body, I don't know, doesn't say. I just told you this var from Nechumen Akonye, who tells us there are different types of angels. There are angels that have wings, angels that don't have wings. They need to climb up a ladder. And we know that the Kruvim had wings. So obviously these were not children. These were adult angels. Yet, the tzuras upon him was that of a child. Okay, Rashi over here is coming to explain because it doesn't say anything in the Targum. Then when it comes Mikshe, why did Rashi the word Mikshe? Because Rashi saw what it says, Nigid Tabid Yosain. What does it mean, Nigid? So in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it says again by the another word Nigid, and there the Ma'at Sori, this commentator that I have, he goes and he elaborates and he brings down from different Mepharshim what the word Nigid means. And he says, the Malbim learns similar to Rashi means to bang, but his first interpretation, the word Nigid does not mean to hit. It means to pull, to be Moishech, which connotes, you don't chisel a block of gold to make it into the tsuda of a Kruvim. Gold is soft, it's not stone, and you pull it, you shape it. And there's no waste. This is what it says in the Targum. Nigit Avid Yosai. Along comes Rashi. Rashi says, I don't know what you're talking about. Mikshe? No! You chisel away. Shaloi Tasem. First of all, he goes on to say, Shaloi Tasem if ne'atzam tzcham b'rosh ha'kavaris. Okay, that will get to back in a second. Lacharazim. Ella. Lacharazim. Kamasei tzoyfrim. Ella. Hatels of Harbe. Let's go to the next Rashi. To bang. Maksha, kmo do al do noksha. Okay, or go back to the previous Rashi. The hake bepatish. Could not be clearer. Bepatish uve kornos boemtsa. Verosh and boltim lamalo. Vetsayakuvim beblitas kitsaisav. You chisel away at the gold the same way you chisel away at stone. Appears to be an argument. And what else is there an argument? And I don't know if you can say this, but he says.
Rabbi, if I understand you correct. Targum holds you took what, two separate pieces of
gold? No, that's a separate point. I didn't even get to that yet. We'll get to that in a second. Come back in a second. First of all, besides was it two separate pieces or one piece? In the portion of the Kruvim themselves, how did you form the image of the Kruvim? Did you take
Rabbi,
Yeah?
Rabbi, when I was in the Corning here upstate New York, the glass factories. They from a piece of glass, but the glass is hard, soft. He was pulling, was making
all
kind of animal.
Pulling.
A horse, whatever.
By pulling. Not by chiseling.
No, and not by hammering. He was pulling.
Right.
But the glass, when it's hard, is soft.
Exactly.
So he was pulling, made a tail, legs.
Exactly.
The hair on the hair.
Even the little teeny details. Exactly. That is what the Targum says. The Targum says Nigid. Nigid means to pull. Exactly. Rashi strongly disagrees. Rashi could not be clearer. Rashi says Nigid? What are you talking about? He says, Ella, Hatel Zov Harbe, Bitlis Asizagoris, Vahake, hit, like stone, hit, with the Patish.
The same word, Miksha, is used by Menorah.
Right, and they're the same exact Machlaikis. It's exactly the same Machlaikis. Exactly the same Machlaikis. Does Miksha mean to hit? Make believe the gold is stone. And the way you're going to make the tsura is by cutting away pieces. Unkelis doesn't say that. Unkelis used the word here and by the other word negid. Negid means to pull. Exactly what Blazer was saying with glass. When glass is hot, it's very, very hot, it's like a liquid almost. And you pull, you spin it, and as it's spinning, whatever, even now you pull, you make the little details by pulling it. There's no waste. Nothing goes to waste. Every part of the material is used in a different tsura. Okay, that's number two. The next thing is, we are brainwashed. Rashi makes it clear as day, is that the Keruvim and the Kapores is one and the same. It's one and the same. It's one big massive chunk of metal, and you chisel away, and when the day is over, you have a slab on the bottom that's one tefach thick, and coming forth from that, in the center, from the rosh, from the surface, are the legs of the Keruvim going all the way up. That's what we've been taught, and that's what it says in Rashi, Mamish. Why did Rashi say that? I don't know if this is true. I am suggesting. What Rashi says is very difficult, because it says in the Pasuk, you have to have two separate things. First it says, V'yasisa kapare zahav tahar. Okay, it's two separate actions. Make a kapiris. Then it says in Pasuk Yudches, V'yasisa, you shall make shnayim keruvim zahav. And how do you make the keruvim mikshet? According to Unkelis, pull it. Mikshet asasam. And where do you attach it? Now it says, Mishnei kitzoysa kapiris. So we know, Rashi, we've been brought up, that these words, Mishnei kitzoysa kapiris, it is one piece of metal. It's all one and the same. Who says? Maybe that's the reason why Rashi made this comment. Maybe. He's coming to reject Targum. Because the Targum doesn't say that it comes from the surface. It's from the sides. And maybe what it means is that you solder it to the sides. You don't go and make it one piece. Because if you look at the Targum doesn't say anywhere that it's made from one piece. It doesn't comment. And I told you, the reason why if you look at this without knowing Rashi, I think the average person would say it's two separate pieces because it says V'yasisa and V'yasisa. And number two, it says for the kapparis Zohav Tahar. And when it says by the Kruvim, it says Zohav. Rashi says no, it's the same V'yasisa. These two V'yas, they're the same thing. And even though it says Zohav Tahar, it says the word Zohav, doesn't matter, it's all the same. And where does it come from? It comes from the Rosh, the surface. And how do you make it? With a hammer and a chisel. Targum, was suggesting, says no. There's a kapoiris that's made from Zahav Tahar. There is Kruvim that is made from ordinary gold. The way you make the Kruvim is through, according to Targum, is through, according to the Targum, is by not a hammer, just by pulling it. And when you finish making the Kruvim, you attach it. Where do you attach it? Where are you going to get the best stability? Along the edges. Along the edges. It'll be stable. It'll be stable to attach it to the edges, the sitra, not from the rosh. Okay, so we've made over here a major machlekes. Talmidei chacham marbe mishalim va'olam accept here. Here, we're making a big machlekes between Rashi and Unkelis. They seem to be saying very different things. Is what we're saying correct or not? I don't know. That's up to you. You be the judge. But that's what we're trying over here to bring out. Okay, I want to say thank you so much for coming. Have a wonderful evening. All the best to everyone.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone. Good night. Ablaze, have a good night. Good night.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Good night. Good night. Be well.
Good night, Rabbi.
Good night. Ezra, how are you? How was the bar mitzvah? How was your drosha, Ezra?
Baruch Hashem, everything went off. It's beautiful. Everything went over well, very well.
So what did you say? What was the drasha? Let me hear the drasha.
Baruch Hashem.
What did you say in the drasha?
Well, I asked those questions about Shechiyanu, so I spoke about that. I also spoke about just in general the